Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back. I'm sorry if there are people that weren't aware that it wasn't going to be a share Wednesday or Thursday. I had mentioned it on Tuesday, but I guess I know not everybody is able to tune in every night. I don't know of any other way of getting the message across. So I hope the people weren't inconvenienced, but I'm glad that we're able to resume now tonight. And let me just by way of introduction, since we're resuming after a mini break. Unfortunately, the shiur was started to as a response to the horrific incidents and events of October 7th of Simchas Torah, over three months ago, which occurred in Eretz Yisrael, and the idea was to try to be mechazek Shmira Shabbos, to learn Hilcha Shabbos, and that, which is, by learning itself is a schus, but of course learning it al manas lasos, learning it al, with the intention of being able to implement what we're learning and see if there's any areas that of our Shmira Shabbos are zahiris in Hilcha Shabbos that could be improved upon. So now that unfortunately the situation at Israel is not improved. In fact, things worsened last week. There was the very tragic event where over 20, I think it was the 24 Jewish men lost their lives in whatever it was, and that in one second, the one incident in Gaza, leaving behind, who knows, probably close to that number of almanas, and who knows how many children, and who knows how many parents, siblings. Just so the situation hasn't improved, and we're still in a very, very big eis tzara, very big eis sakan, etc. So maybe as we're continuing along, we should just remind ourselves that as we're learning, it's almanas lasos, that we should try to see if, based on the learning, there's anything that could be anything we can improve in our Zahiris and Shmira Shabbos. Okay, now I wanted to continue the topic we were talking about. We have a little bit more to go in this topic of reading material on Shabbos, what's permissible and what's forbidden. Now, what's very interesting is that one of the main sources of this halacha in Shas is a Mishnah which says that a person is not allowed to read a list on Shabbos, a list of guests that he may have invited for his Shabbos or Yom Tov meal. He's not allowed to read the list, nor is he allowed to read a list of the various items that he or she were planning on serving at the meal. As if they wrote up what we now would call a menu. No, not a menu that you get in the restaurant, but a menu that you prepare yourself. Okay, you know, especially which is common that people do, particularly on a Yom Tov. When there's 2 days of Yontif, or there's Yontif and Shabbos back to back, certainly if there's 3 days, so then it's very common that people write lists, write menus, because they've made multiple dishes, multiple different types of meat and salads, or they want to prepare salads, and they've made kugels and whatnot, and they want to remember what they're going to need to serve, what they need to prepare in advance, etc., what has to be taken out of the freezer at the time when it's permissible, etc. So the halacha says you're not allowed to read such a list. Now, that's what the Mishnah says. And this is really one of the main sources for this whole topic of reading material on Shabbos. So what's the reason? So there are two reasons given in the Gemara. One reason is because, which I mentioned before, it's michlif. It could be confused with shtari hedyotos. In order to enforce the takana that people can't read business papers, so Chazal extended it. They broadened it that it doesn't just include business papers, but it even includes papers, lists of this nature, which are not business oriented, business related at all. It's one reason. The other reason is Shema Yimchok, because the person might erase something if, for example, let's say they were planning on inviting a list of people, and this is a list. The Gemara is talking about a case where it's a list they want to give to their shamish, to somebody who works for them, who's going to take the list and then go around and invite the different people on the list. And the lady sees that, oh, one second, I don't have the food or whatever it is. I realize that, no, we don't want to invite this person. And you might erase the name from the list. You might scratch it out or erase it. So as to erase it, so that the Shamish who takes the list around won't go and invite that person. Or the lady might erase something from her own list and say, oh, no, I decided against serving or making that salad because XYZ. And she might erase it so that to remind herself, so that when her daughter, you know, is helping and she sees what to make for that day, she'll realize, she'll understand not to make that salad. So these are two reasons. Now, the Gemara indicates that for a Sudas mitzvah, we would not... The problem of Shtarei Jotas wouldn't apply if it's for a Sudas mitzvah. But there's still a problem of Shema Yimchok, that you might erase it. Now, you might say, well, Sudas mitzvah, so then why isn't every Shabbos meal a Sudas mitzvah or every Yotav meal a Sudas mitzvah? So that's a question that's discussed by various poskim. And according to some, it really comes out that it is, and some suggest that really it is, and the Gemara is talking about if you're eating an extra meal on Shabbos, which is not one of the mandatory meals Shabbos Yontif. So some understand there are other various answers given. But now the truth is, we don't necessarily need for the point of this year all this background and all the back and forth. Just pointing out to give you a little bit of a background for what I'm about to say, and you should be aware that there's a lot, like every area of halacha, there's an awful lot of discussion in poskim. In trying to understand the background of the halacha and the details of the halacha, and to understand the reasons in order to understand the applications, where it applies, where it doesn't apply, how it applies, etc., and to know how to use the halacha properly. Okay, so the bottom line is that according to a number of poskim, and according to, I think, what we could work with in practice, is that if you, a list, in order to be able to actually read a list, what's more relevant to us is the list of courses that you want to, dishes you want to serve. In order to read it, you would have to take certain precautions that would not lead a person to erase it, but not necessarily what you might say on your own and say, I'm not going to race, don't worry about it. No, it has to be something that within the framework of halacha is considered a suitable protection that you won't come to be mochikit. So one of the best ways is don't read the list, but give it to someone else to read. Someone who has no right to erase anything. Yes, someone else, can you do me a favor? Someone else has to, could you take a look at this meal and remind me what I was planning on serving, at the next Suda. So I know how to prepare. And that person, it's not their list. They're not the balabas or balabuster. They're not in charge. They have no right to erase anything. They're not the decision-making person. And that may even include your husband or your child or whatever, because probably most wives would not be very pleased if their husband would take their list and say, oh, no, don't make this. I remember the last time you made that. I don't want to repeat that. And he would erase that from the list. That would not promote very much shalom bayis. And so very like the husband, you know, wouldn't touch it, and his wife certainly wouldn't allow him, so to speak, or and certainly a child in the house, even if it's an adult child, or a married child who's there for yontif. I mean, they you know, it's not their job to be erasing things. So that would be one ace, to have somebody else read the list. And there's also a mila that when you read it, not to like read it off straight, like to hold your hand and say, okay, it says here roast beef and chopped liver and, bean salad, whatever. But to just look at it and read it with your eyes and then just repeat it without looking at it. Because although when we say reading includes with your eyes, even if you don't articulate the words, but it's not so pushed in the Rishon. There's a Shaila in the Rishon, even the Shulchan Aruch itself. If you read something just with your eyes and you don't articulate the words, it's according to some that's mutter. And even if we don't hold, it's mutter by itself, but it's certainly roi litzare if it's something that could combine with this. So it the best way to do it would be to have somebody else read it. And as I said, if possible, that they should just look at it and then tell you, look at it and say roast beef, whatever, Caesar salad, I don't know. make up whatever you want, without actually reading it off the paper. Or if not have someone else actually read it, appoint somebody to be a shomer. When you read it, you're the one who made the list. You have the right to erase. Appoint a shomer. Watch, guard me. Watch me that I don't erase. If you see my hand, you know, reach towards the pencil cabinet with the erasers, tap me on the chest. Stop. See, if you make a shomer, you won't come to erase. These are some practical eitzes that are given, and to avoid the Shema Yimcho. And as the Shtari Yodas aspect of it, many are Mekel Lemaisa for various reasons. So for now, that's what we'll recommend. Maybe we'll take it a little bit further. So the question which is posed is, it helped to write it in pen. It's not erasable. The only thing I saw was that one of the poskim recommends, one of the contemporary Gedolei poskim says, if it's typed, you could be makel because you don't erase typing. Pen, I think, is less pusher because, first of all, ink is somewhat erasable, maybe not easily erasable, but also, and there are some inks that are erasable. So the only thing I saw was typed. Or I did hear, and I really I wasn't going to mention this tonight, but I'm responding anyway to that message that was just sent. I did hear, and I'm going to try to clarify, check with the source that I think I heard it from to make sure before I quote it by name, but that if you laminate the list before Shabbos, before Yontif, and l'chore that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take it to a laminating machine, but if you can laminate it by putting some tape over it, some scotch tape or clear tape over, write list, and put some clear tape over it, then it's really not erasable. Now, the reason why it's not maybe 1,000% push is because the Gemara has some cases where it's not really so erasable, and yet it says it's also in some cases the Gemara says it is okay, some things not okay. So that's why it's not so simple. But Lemaisa, as I said, I did see in the name of at least one of the posts that it's typed, he says, at least it's better. And the other heter of a laminated. Believe it or not, I'm going to try to check on my source if I can before tomorrow's shiur. I tried today, but I wasn't able to get through. So I want to see if really the Rav that I believe I heard it from or heard it in his name actually said it and clarify that, yes, that is true. And then we'll take it from here, Bez Hashem. Okay. So we'll try to respond to the nuances that are about this tomorrow, Lee Nether. Meanwhile, wishing you all a wonderful night. All the best. Kol Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Bye-bye.